Boker Tov, and welcome back to our continuing series of the study of Daf Yomi. We are now on the Mishnah on Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet at the very top of the Amud. And from this Mishnah on, as I indicated in the note, we will be dealing almost exclusively with laws of Tumah V'Tahara based on the principle that Chayav Adam L'Taharat Zmo B'Regel, that a person has to purify himself in advance in anticipation of the Regel. That's why it's here in Masachat Chagiga. And we will see in this group of Mishnayot, which take us to the end of this perek, which are three different Mishnayot, that there are various gradations of Tahara, meaning that if a person is Metahara himself in order to be involved with level A, it requires a particular act. In order to be involved with level B, it may involve something more. And we will see that the distinctions are both ones of intent and of performance. This entire series of Mishnayot all deal with what is called Ma'alot Rabbanan, which means the stipulations and stringencies that are rabbinic in nature in order to make sure that the Mishav's precincts is preserved. Good. Means that you need to do netilat yadayim, as we will discover in the Gemara. This refers to only for eating and only for eating bread of chulin, meaning non-sanctified food. Maaser here refers to maaser sheni. Truma is truma, of course. For those three, there's netilat yadayim. Maaser and truma, it is for any of the. And in the case of truma, it's even for touching. La kodesh matbilin, which means if you're going to eat kodshim, then you have to be matbil your hands. V'la chatat here refers to, and it will refer all the way through the rest of these mishnayot, chatat refers to mechatat, meaning if you're going to be involved with paraduma, it's mu'yadav nitma gufo. If your hands became tame, even in a tuma derabanan, like touching or shenu the tuma or whatever, you have to take your entire body and go into the mech. Good, that's the first mishnah. Now, tovel l'chulin hufsak l'chulin. If you were tovel, or notal yadayim, in any case, in order to eat chulin, then it's only good for chulin asal maser. Then you are not the level of shmirah, and therefore the level of tahara for chulin is not the same as maser, and therefore you have to be tovel again for maser or notal yadayim. Tovel l'maser hufsak l'maser asal l'truma, tovel l'truma hufsak l'truma asal l'kodesh, tovel l'kodesh hufsak l'kodesh asal l'chata, tovel l'cham, okay. Good, so we have all five levels, Chulin, Maaser Sheni, Truma, Kodesh, and Chatat. And in each case, if you were Tovel for the lower level, that does not, it's not sufficient for interaction with the higher level thing. Vala Chamur Mutar Lakal. Good. And so if you were Tovel for the more serious thing, then of course it's the less serious thing. Tavav Lohzak, Kilu Lo Taval. Tavav Lohzak means if you were Tovel or Notzei Adayim without Kavana, then it's nothing. We will see that this is not always the case. That's the second Mishnah, Mishnah Vav. And Mishnah Zayin, the last Mishnah of the Parak, goes as follows. One bit of introduction, which I did not put on the page, and that is the nature of Tumat Midras. Now, Tumat Midras is a Tumah which is reserved to Zav and Zav and Nida, and that is that anything that a Zav, Zav, or Nida sits on during the time that they're Tamei, even if it is underneath, meaning that they sit on a chair and underneath the chair, there are pillows, and under the pillow there's some sort of a sheet, and whatever it is. All of those things are Tamei Tuman Midras, and they are Tamei Shiva. Alright, so now, Bigdei Am Haaretz, meaning the garments of somebody who's not careful about Tuma, is Midras Leprushin, meaning that that is considered Tamei Midras for people who eat their Chulin B'Tahara. Bigdei Prushin Midras L'Ochli Truma. Now notice we skipped a step, and that's Maaser Sheni. But the begadim of the prushim are considered tamei midras for people who eat truma. Bigdei achol truma midras lakodesh. Bigdei kodesh midras lachata. Good. And now two stories to end the parak that support this notion of the hierarchy. Yosef ben Yoezer, we know of as the as a member of the Sanhedrin back in very early generations, haya chasid shebekuhuna v'atami patcho midras lakodesh. Even though he was a very pious person among the Kohanim, and he was very careful the way he ate Truma, nonetheless, his scarf was considered Midras for Ochle Kodesh. Yochanan ben Gudgoda haya ochel al Taharat HaKodesh koyamav. he would eat chulin al tarat hakodesh for his entire life. Vaitamid patchom midras lachatat. Even though in Yochanan ben Gudol's time the parat reduma was not in practice anymore, nonetheless, in theory, his scarf, scarf, was considered a midras for chatat. Okay, good. Now let's take a look at the. The first question is about Ntilat Dilaim. Chulin u'maser mibo Ntilat Dilaim. Since when do you have to wash for chulin and for maser? Armini, we have a Mishnah in Bikurim that compares how all the different matnot kahuna, etc., what they have in common as opposed to others that are different. So, for instance, how are Truma and Maser alike? How are Bikurim and Maser alike? One of the Mishnayot says, how are Truma and Bikurim alike? Truma and Bikurim, chayavin olehen mita, if a non-kohen eats them, he's chayav mita b'dei shamayim, b'chomesh, if he eats them b'shogeg, he has to pay the fine of a fifth. V'asa lazarim, v'nichsei kohen, they believe to belong to the kohen, v'olin b'acharumea, they fall into chulin, and as long as there's 100 times as much chulin, you take one out, etc. To netilat yadayim, this is the part we care about. You need netilat yadayim for truma and bikurim. Beharev shemesh, if you were tameh, you have to be go to the mikvah and wait for harev shemesh for nighttime to eat. Harev truma and bikurim, mashen kenu maaser. These things are true about truma and bikurim, and not true about maaser sheni. So you see, maaser sheni does not need netilat yadayim. B'choshekein b'chul. Kasha maaser maaser, kasha chulin achulin. So we have a contradiction here between the laws of Maaser and also regarding Chulin. So now, the first thing that we're able to deal with is Maaser. Bishlam Maaser, Maaser Lokasha. That we can solve. HaRameir, HaRabbanan. Rameir, as we will see, treats Maaser and Chulin equally, and Rabbanan don't. So that Mishnah in Bikurim would be Rameir. Ditnan kol ha-ta'un bi'atmai midivrei sofrim. Anything that requires you to go to the mikvah, midrabanan, meaning any tumidrabanan, like touching an ochel rishon, metame et hakodesh. If you are such a person who midrabanan is tame, and you touch kodesh, tame, uposel et hatruma. And if you touch truma, it invalidates it. Can't carry tuma further, but invalidates it. Umuta lechulin v'lamasa, the vermeir. And our mayor says that it does not affect truma, chulin, or meiser at all. Chacham also in b'maaser maaser, but Chacham disagree about maaser. So Chacham say, indeed, somebody is not allowed to touch maaser. So chulin and maaser are not of the same level. But according to our mayor, chulin and maaser would be of the same level. Good. So that we answered. Ela chulin and chulin kasha. But how are you going to solve the problem of chulin? So lo kasha kan ba'achila kan b'negia. The Mishnah was talking about touching. Touching, you're allowed to touch chulin. Our Mishnah is talking about eating chulin. Eating chulin, you need to wash. Ma'agav shimur Rashi, ad kan lo pligu rabbanan alei Rav Meir ala b'achila de maaser. We have a tradition that the rabbanan disagreed with Rav Meir in that last Mishnah about kol ha-ta'un b'yadmayim, only about eating maaser. Aval b'negia de maaser u'b'achila de chulin lo pligu. They don't disagree about eating chulin and about touching maaser, which means that they would certainly say that for eating chulin, it sounds like if you're eating chulin, you don't need to mention that yadayim. Ela idiv idi b'achila. The answer is both are achila. Lo kasha kan b'achila de nama, kan b'achila de perei. So the when do you need to tilat yadayim? Our Mishnah, that is when you're eating bread of chulin. When do we say that chulin is different than truma bikurim, in which you don't need tilat yadayim? That's for anything besides bread, which we're calling perot. Nachman observed the people who wash their hands for peirot, meaning for not for bread, is considered to be haughty. In other words, as if they're doing a little more than necessary. Good. Tanur Rabbanan, notal yadav, nitkaven yadav tarot, lun kaven yadav tmeot. So somebody washes, and they had intent for tahara, then fine, and if not, then there's no tahara. Chenat bil yadav, same thing if you were matbil your hands, like we had for Kodesh. We have a brayta that says whether or not you had intent, your hands are pure, as long as you were matbil them properly. So Rav Nachman answers it by saying, for chulin, you don't need kavanah. For maaser, you didn't need kavanah. How do we know that chulin doesn't need kavanah? So somebody's sitting at the beach, and suddenly a big wave comes, and the wave includes 40 saw of water. And a person was sitting there, and there were vessels there, and it fell on all of them. Tahorin, they're all tahor. Tani Adam Dumia the Kalim. We have the man sitting there with the Kalim compared. They're drawn together. Ma Kalim Dula Machavi, just like the Kalim can't have Kavana of any sort. Afadam Dula Machavi. So the Adam doesn't need Kavana. So you see that Chulin don't need Kavana to be Tovel. For Chulin, you don't need Kavana. Perhaps the guy's sitting on the beach, anticipating when a wave is going to come and hit him, so he does have kavana. So are we now going to equate kalim to adam and say just like the man has to be sitting there anticipating the wave, so the kalim are only tahor if the man is anticipating the wave that's going to cover them? And if you're going to tell me that there's no chiddush in telling me that if a guy's sitting there and waiting for a wave that he's tahor, I might have reason to think that you cannot be tovel on a wave that you're anticipating will come, because then you might end up being tovel in a sloping stream of rainwater that comes down that we're not allowed. Perhaps we should be gozer that you can't be tovel in a wave, because you might be tovel in the upper part of the wave, which are called kefin. So perhaps that's what it's coming to teach us, that we aren't gozer in that way, and you are able to be tovel in the top part of the wave. Who says you're not allowed to be tovel in the kefin? Because you're not allowed to be tovel in the air, and the head part of the wave is in the air. So this doesn't prove anything to us about that Chulin doesn't need Kavanah. Maybe the guy's sitting on the beach and he's anticipating the wave coming. Elamiha, this is where we know it from. Nan, Perochenaflu Tocha Matamayim. If fruit fell into a trench of water. Pashat Misha Adav Tameyotun Talan. And a guy's hands are Tamei, and he put his hands in there to take fruit out. Yadav Torot, his hands are Tahor. All right, he put his hands in there just to get the fruit out, not to be told on them. Perot and non-bechiyutan, and by the way, the perot are not considered to have gotten intentionally wet so that they could be makabel tuma. But if he put his hands in order to wet his hands or to clean his hands, then yadav tahorot, his hands are still tahor. But perot are in bechiyutan. Now the perot really are bechiyutan because he intended for them to be there. But the point that we see is that no matter what happens, if he puts his hand in the water, his hands are tahor no matter what his intent. So, Eitav Rabbi Lav Nachman Atoba L'chulin was like L'chulin Asa L'maaser. Our Mishnah said that if you're Tovel for Chulin, that you're Huchzak L'chulin, but not for Maaser. But Huchzak in L'Huchzak Lo, that's only if Huchzak, meaning only if you intended to Tahara, not if you just went into the mikvah or put your hands in the water. Hachikam Rav Bishu Huchzak L'chulin Asa L'maaser. All the Mishnah is trying to teach you is that even if you did have intent for Chulin, it's not good enough for Maaser. That doesn't mean that if you had no intent at all, it's not good for chulin. The end of the second Mishnah, Mishnah Vav, said, if you were tovel without kavana, it's like you didn't weren't tovel. My love, kilo tovel klal, doesn't it mean it's like you weren't tovel at all? Lo, kilo lo tovel l'maser. So if you're not tovel for maser, aval tovel l'chulin, who's aval tovel l'chulin? It certainly is good enough for chulin. Now, who's sovereign dachi kamadchile? So Rabbah figured that Rav Nachman was just pushing him off and saying, you don't have a proof. Nafak dak v'ashkach, so Rabbah went out, and he found a braita, the Tanya, Tava v'luchzak, osel l'maaser mutter l'chulin. If you went to the mikveh without kavana, it's osel b'maaser, but it's mutter b'chulin. So he found that a braita supported Rav Nachman in his contention that you don't need kavana for chulin. Now, Amar Rav Elazar, Tava v'ala, if a guy went to the mikveh and he came out and he hadn't had no intention, at that point, he could say, I intended that tefillah for maaser or for kodesh or whatever. Meaning that you don't have to do it at the time of the tefillah. If you still have one leg in the water, and you had originally gone in for, let's say, maaser, you can then change it and redirect your kavana as long as you still got one leg in the water. Once you got out of the water, you can't redirect the kavana. My love, in a marzi klal, doesn't that mean that once you're out of the water, you can't put any kavana whatsoever? Lo, odeo avishur zag marzik. And what it means is if your foot's still in the water, even if you already intended one thing, you could change it to something else. Allah, but if you got out of the water, in lo zag marzik, vimurzak in a marzik. If you got out of the water, so if you did not intend anything, then you can make a new kavana. But if you had intended something, you can't redirect. Good. So now, man tano deu raglo achat b'mayim. Who is the Tana who says that as long as one foot is in the water, you can still change your kavanah? Change it if you had had original kavanah. So, Amar Rabbi Padat Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Padat claims that it's only authored by Rabbi Yehuda. None. We have the following mission. Mikvah shenimdad v'yesh bo arba'im samech uvanot. You have a mikvah that's exactly 40 sa'ah. Yardu shnayim v'tovel uzeh harzeh. Two guys went in one after the other m'tovel. Harishon tahar v'asheni tameh. The first one's tahar. The second one's tameh because the first one carried some water out with him and now you have less than a proper mikvah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, imayu raglav shel rishon nogot b'mayim af asheni tahar. Rabbi Yehuda adds that if the first guy has still got his toe in the water, he's almost out of the water, he's got still part of him in the water, the second guy is, and when the second guy goes in, the second guy is tahar also. Now, Amar Rav Nachman Rav Avuha, machloket b'malot rabbanan. He said the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Kama is only in cases where the guy is being tovel for an extra tahara d'rabbanan, like our cases. Tumah l'tahara, but from real tumah l'tahara, divra kol afasheni tamei. Everybody agrees that the second guy is tummy, right? Behind the Rabbi Padat, that exactly works like Rabbi Padat, who says that Rabbi Yehuda maintains against the Rabbanan that when it comes to Ma'alot the Rabbanan, we consider while you're still got one little toe in the mikveh, you still are considered in and you could change your kavanah. Because this whole thing about particular kavanah from Maser and everything else is all Ma'alot the Rabbanan. Midoraita. If you need kavanah at all, it could just be a stam generic, plain brown wrapper kavanah of I intend to be tahor. It's only midrabbanan that there's a requirement that you say I'm being tahor for truma or for whatever. Good. Now, but there's another version. Kedamri, Amar Nachman, Amar Avoa, machloket mituma latara. That the machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is about real tuma. Avam malot rabbanan divra kol afasheni tahor. But if it's only a rabbanan tuma tahara level that he's working on, then everybody agrees that the second guy is tahor. Pligid Rabbi Padat, in which case that challenges Rabbi Padat, because that means that everybody would agree that while one leg is in the mikvah, you can change your kavanah to be into a more serious level. Good. Now Amar Ula, boy mine Rabbi Yochanan. They asked Rabbi Yochanan, live Rabbi Yehuda, corner Rabbi Yehuda with this 1 foot in the mikvah. Curious question. The guy has gone into the mikvah. He's on his way out. We really don't need a sheni for this. The guy has got 1 foot still in the mikvah, and we're considering, according to Yehuda, that he's still in the mikvah, sort of. And so now, could you possibly take a tiny needle and be matbil it in the water that's in this guy's head? The guy in his hair has a bunch of water. Could you be matbil a little needle in that water? Do you consider the guy totally connected to the mikveh this way? Now, the question is as follows. Gur achit, it leh Rabbi Yehuda, gur asik leh. Do we say that Rabbi Yehuda only holds that his body extends down, but not that the water extends up? O dilma, gur asik nam it leh. Perhaps he holds that it goes in both directions. So just like this guy's body extends down, it's as if he's still in the mikveh, as long as one toe is in. Similarly, as long as one toe is in the water, all it considers is considered extended up. And the water that's on his head is all part of the mikveh water. So Amar leh tanitua. So he answered, Rabbi Yochanan answered, with the following statement. Shalosh gmamiyot panachal. Let's say you have in a riverbed three little holes that are filled with water, and not so little. Hal yonat achlum tzayit. Hal yonat achlum shalosim esrim amad. The upper one and the lower one each have 20 amot. And the middle one is of sa'ot, sorry, and the middle one has 40 sa'ot. And there's a small rivulet that's coming between them, that's connecting them all. Rabbi Yehuda quotes his chaver Rabbi Meir as saying, you could be matbil in the upper one, even though there's only 20 in it, because the water from the lower one is considered connected, and you now have a huge mikvah. So that was Rabbi Yochanan's answer, which means that Rabbi Yehuda really holds, it sounds like he affirms Rabbi Meir, that he really holds Gudasik. The water also goes up. Then we have a brighter, he says, Meir Yael Mer Matbil Bal Yonah, Vanil Mer Matachtana Vilo Bal Yonah. We have another brighter, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Meir says, you can be Tovel in the upper one. And I say, you can only be Tovel in the lower one, since Rabbi Yehuda really does not accept Gudasik and the water going up. Marle Itanya Tanya. So Rabbi Yochanan said, if you have a brayta like that, there's nothing I can do. Evidently, I was wrong, and Rabbi Yehuda really does not accept gud asik. Good. The Mishnah said, Atov al-Chulin, Muchzak al-Chulin. Good. Mani Manitin. Who is the author of our Mishnah? So we start off by saying Rabbanan Heat. Remember the Rabbanan, as we saw in that Mishnah about Tefillah and a Tumid Rabbanan, said that there was a distinction between Chulin and Maaser. And therefore, our Mishnah that says Chulin and Maaser, etc., must be Rabbanan. Shanalim and Chulin and Maaser. Ema Sefer, look at the last part of the Mishnah. Bigdei Ma'aretz Midrash Leprushin. If you remember when I taught the Mishnah 14 minutes ago, I noted that there was no distinction between Chulin and Maaser in the last clause about the Bigdei Ma'aretz. So the Seifa sounds like Reb Meir because it leapfrogs from the Am Haaretz straight up to Truma, which means Chulin Maaser in one bag. So Reish Rabbanan is Seifa Reb Meir. So could it be that Mishnah Hay is Rabbanan and Mishnah Zion is Reb Meir? The answer is in Reish Rabbanan is Seifa Reb Meir. So what? Rebbe Yehuda Nasi felt the halacha is like Rabbanan in this and Reb Meir here, so that's what he codified. He had a different way. In the last Mishnah, he had Bigdei Ma'aretz Er Midras Leprushin. And Bigdei Prushin Midras Leochle Maser. He had that in there. So therefore he had five levels. And therefore the entire system, the entire sequence are all the Rabbana. Ki Rabbana. Good. So now, Rav Meri draws an interesting conclusion. He says, Shmamina, Chulin Shinasu Al Tarata Kodesh, Kekodesh dam. Somebody who eats their chulin al taharat hakodesh, which we saw in at the end of our Mishnah, Yocham ben Gudgoda. Somebody who eats their chulin with the level of taharat hakodesh are really considered kekodesh. In other words, it works. Mimai, how do I know that? Midalok tani bahumala, because we didn't say that bigdei prushin who eat chulin b'taharat chulin. Our midras to those people who eat it, midras leochle chulin b'taharat hakodesh, right? So that means that somebody who eats their chulin b'taharat hakodesh is the same as kodesh, and then they're already listed. Dilma haidelog tani b'umala didama l'truma hatani truma vidama l'chulin hatani chulin. Maybe the reason they're not mentioned is because maybe they're some other standard. Maybe they're like chulin or like truma, and whatever it is already mentioned. Right? In other words, whatever standard they are is already mentioned. There's no reason to mention them independently. We have a Mishnah in which we have a machloket about the status of chulin that are eaten al tarat hakodesh, whether they're chulin or like truma. But nobody says they're like kodesh. Elami seifa. We do infer it from the seifa. Yosef and Yoezer ya chasich v'gunav v'itam v'pachom idras l'kodesh. Yochum v'gora ya ochel al tarat hakodesh k'amam v'itam v'pachom idras l'chatat. So Yosef ben Yochanan ben Gudgoda used to eat al tarat hakodesh, and that was considered midras for people involved in the paraduma. Achatat in la kodesh lo, but only for that, and not for people eating kodesh. Alma kasar chulin shnasu al tarat kodesh kodesh tami. So obviously, in our Mishnah and the story about Yochanan ben Gudgoda, they maintain that if somebody eats chulin al tarat hakodesh, it is considered equal to kodesh, and the only thing for which it's insufficient is the one piece above it, which is paraduma. Now, the last part of our parak deals with three different codes, three different rulings, and how we parse them. Number one, if a guy is careful with tahara, and his garment fell off of him, the shawl, and he said to his friend, pick it up for me, the guy hands it to him, it's immediately tame. That's ruling number one. We'll get back to it. Let's say he went to his closet to take out his Shabbat clothes. Instead, he took out his Chol clothes. Ulevashan nitmu. Then they become tameh. That's ruling number two. These are all curious and strange rulings. Amar Belozer of Tzadok, number three. Maaseh b'shtei nashim. He doesn't go to rule, but rather case law. There was a story about two women. Chaverot. Shinchafulan klayhen v'etamirchatz. What's critical is both these women are chaverot, meaning they're careful about tuma. They went to the Beit HaMerchatz. When they got out, they put on each other's clothes by accident. Uvama said, Rabbi Kiva said, the clothes are all Tameh. Mazbar Rabbi Shai. So Rabbi Shai challenges this entire system. You're going to tell me that if a guy reaches his hand, he's watching Tilat Yadayim, he reaches his hand to grab some wheat bread, instead he grabs barley bread. Hachinami didn't eat mate. What, the bread is Tameh because he intended one thing and took out another? Like the guy who intended Bigdei Shabbat and took out Bigdei Chol? Chitema Achinami, you're telling me that's true. Vatanya Meshamer Tachaviv Bechezkat Shel Yain Nisei Shel Shemen. If a guy is watching a barrel, thinking that it is wine, turns out to be oil, Tahorami L'tamei, it's still Tahor. So it can't be the case that if you intended the awareness of one item and it turned out to be just something different, not higher or lower, just something different, doesn't mean that's Tameh because you didn't have proper intent for what the thing really is. That's not the case. But look at the end of that. But you're still not allowed to eat it. Zamai, Amar Yirmiyah, Ba'omer Shmartiyah, Midavar Metamah, V'lo Midavar Poslah. That has nothing to do with intent. That's just saying, the guy is saying, well, it sort of has to do with intent, but not about what the item is. He's saying, I was only careful to keep it from something that would be Metameh, but not from something that would invalidate it. So, Mika Netirut Alapalga, since when do you have halfway Shmirah? Either the guy watched it or didn't watch it. How can he say, I only watched it from serious things? In Ratanya, Shitya Doba Sal, Asalak Tefom, Agrifa Betocha Sal, the guy reaches behind his back and into a basket, and there's a tool inside the basket. And he wanted to touch to take the basket. And he wasn't thinking about the magrifah. So you see that there's halfway shmirah. The thing that he intended is tahor, and the thing he didn't intend is tameh. Asal tahor? How could the basket be tahor? Tameh magrifah asal. If you're going to say the magrifah is tameh, the tool is tameh, it's for tameh the sal. It's in there. So, ain't kli matame kli. No, that's not true, because one kli is not matame another. V'litame mashav asal, but maybe the magrifah should be matame, the food that's in the sal. So, amar avina ba'omer shmartim, midavar shemitamo, v'lo midavar poslo. Because the guy says, I was mishamer, that nothing that could be matame it would get in, but not necessarily something that would invalidate it. Yikom akom kasha. Nonetheless, you see that there is, that we're still trying to understand our case. Or our three cases, doesn't make any sense. So a woman came to Rabbi Shmuel. See this garment? I wove it b'tahara, but I wasn't careful about watching it b'tahara. Rabbi Shmuel did all sorts of inquiries to ask her what happened. She said, oh yeah, there was a woman who came, who happened to be Anita at the time, who helped pull the strings when I was weaving it. Rabbi Shmuel, Kama gdolim divrei chachamim shayomrim, b'libo l'shomro tahor, in b'libo l'shomro tameh. Rabbi Shmuel said, look how great the words of the chacham are that say that if the person intends and is thinking about shmirah, care watching it from tumah, it works, and if not, not. You see, this woman wasn't watching carefully, and now she realizes what happened. And now we have a second case. Shuv ma'aseh b'shachat shabat b'fnei Rabbi Shmuel, Mother Rabbi, ma'pazu aragtia b'tahara v'lo aya b'libi l'shomra. I made this tablecloth, same thing. She said, yeah, by the way, at one point, one of the strings broke, and I tied it up with my teeth. And the idea is that, therefore, it became wet, and therefore became liable for tuma. Good. So now we understand what the basic principle is, that if a person intends shmirah, then it's good, and if they're not, then it's tamei. So, let's go back. The third case that we had with the two women in the Beit HaMerchatz, each one says the other woman is an Eshet HaMaretz. And in that case, the clothes are all Tamei, because she says, look, I know my clothes, but she put on my clothes, and she's not careful about these things. Therefore, she wasn't thinking about Shmirah, because again, you have to intend Shmirah. The second case was about Big Day Shabbat. Came on the Kalim Shabbat, Avid Lushim or Tvei. For some reason, people are more careful about the Tumah V'Tahara when it comes to Big Day Shabbat. So, therefore, the minute that you put on the Big Day Chol, you're not as careful with the Shmirah. Rabbi Yonatan Ben Elazar, but the first case, which is when your thing fell off and the other guy picked it up, why is it Tameh? Navid Lushim or B'Yaday Dechavre, why can't I be watching it in your hands? Because we have a general rule that a person is not careful to watch something that's in somebody else's hands. Your hands, yes, in other hands, no. So that's why if it fell off and you told your friend to pick it up, it automatically becomes tamei the minute he touches it. So we challenge that with the following ruling. If you have donkey drivers and workers that have all sorts of taharot that they're carrying, Alfi shiflig man yotami mi'aliv, and you're driving them even though you're far, far away. Torah tav, Torot, everything's still tahor. Marlehem the chuv ani avo achareichem, but if you told them, go ahead, I'll catch up with you. Kimashna mu'einav mehen Torot tav tmeot. The minute that they're out of eyesight, then it's already tameh. Kimashna reisha mashna sefer. Why are they different? V'yitzchak nafcha reisha metayr chamarav po alav l'chach. The first case is where you actually put them into the mikvah right away before having them carry, in order to be able to osik b'tarot. V'yachi sefer nami should be the same thing with the sefer. So inamaretz makpina al maga chaviro, because they're all themselves on meharetz, therefore they're not careful about touching somebody else who might be tamei. V'yachi reisha nami, so in the reisha it should be the same case. After all, they're still out of sight in the reisha. V'avalahem derech hakalaton. It's talking about where there was a crooked path, so you really couldn't see them. V'yachi sefer nami. The minute you tell them, I will go catch up, go ahead, I'll catch up with you, then they already think you're not going to see them and they're not as careful. But if they don't know that and they think that you're watching them, they're going to be very careful about what they touch, and therefore indeed, you see that a person is not shomer, mashav yad chavero. They themselves are being shomer it, because he was mitire them for this purpose, and as long as they think he's watching, they themselves will be careful. Okay, Tov, we finished the perek. As you can see from the sheet, this is being taught over the course of 2 days, but we will link the sheet with this, and Amir Tz Hashem, in the next podcast, we will begin the third and final perek of Masechet Chagigah.